Here's Pastor Brian as he continues his study on the authority of the Bible.
This week we're looking at the subject of the authority of the Bible. In our last study, we focused on 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, supporting the fact that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. But the point of our studies is not just to prove the inspiration of the Bible, but it's also a call to all believers to come back to put their faith and trust in the Scriptures alone for doctrine, for practice within the church, to be able to understand what is of the Holy Spirit and what is not. In this day and age, we need to be called back to the Scriptures as that sole authority to determine truth from error. Edward Young, in his book that emphasized the inspiration of the Bible, called Thy Word is Truth, he wrote this: "Modern man no longer is ready to listen to the voice of the one living and eternal God, but prefers rather the changing sands of human opinion for the foundation which to build his religious life." And that's a dangerous place when man begins to turn away from the Word of God and to look to other sources as that final source of authority. I think what a lot of people are unfortunately doing today are they're looking to their own experience. And basically that leaves man as the final authority. I determine what is right or wrong based on my own personal subjective experiences. The problem is we have to realize that we could be deceived easily, and our experiences and our senses have deceived us in the past. There's certain things that we thought were true, and later we come to find out that they're not. So experience is not a solid ground to be able to determine truth from error. We need something outside of ourselves that we can look to, which the Bible declares is the Word of God. That's what we need to look to, is that final source of authority. One of the greatest passages in the Bible to prove this is found in Peter's writing in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. And in this portion of Scripture, what he is going to do is he's going to describe some of the wonderful experiences that he's had with the Lord, but then he's going to elevate something above that experience as something that is more sure than even the own personal religious experiences that he had when the Lord was with him. And he says this in verse 16: "For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." So he says we didn't follow the stories that were popular of the day. We didn't pick them up from somebody else. They weren't just stories that were passed on from one generation to the next. We didn't follow those types of things, nor did we follow the stories of the most famous religious men of the day. But he says, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. And what a wonderful privilege Peter had to be able to see with his own eyes the glory of God that radiated through Jesus Christ on that Mount of Transfiguration. He saw it with his own eyes. He experienced it. For he goes on to say, "For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain." And so Peter says, not only did we follow these stories, but we were on that holy mountain and we heard the voice of God that said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." They heard the voice and they also saw Jesus Christ being transformed. That glory began to show through that human body. Peter said, "I saw that. I was an eyewitness of this." But now he's going to, in verse 19, say we have something that is more sure than even the personal human experiences of the apostles. In verse 19, he says, "We also have the prophetic word, which is more sure than what we heard." And his point is this: as a foundation for truth and authority and salvation, and the fact that we're telling you Jesus Christ is coming again, and earlier in the chapter he's talking about salvation that's sure and that we have a inheritance reserved for us in heaven, Peter says, here's how I know it's true. And he says, we've experienced these things. We're eyewitnesses of Jesus Christ. We saw the glory. We heard the voice. But we have something that's even greater than that, the prophetic word, which is more sure than what we heard. So he's saying we had some wonderful experiences, but above that experience we place the prophetic scriptures, the Word of God. And this is a truth that we need to come back to. Yes, religious experience is great, and we do have those times where it can be very emotional, can be a very strong experience, but how do we determine? How do we take a step back and say, is this from God or is it from the enemy deceiving me? Because you do realize that there's all sorts of groups that are claiming to be from God. And they say, we've experienced this or that in our meeting, so it must be God. For example, the Mormons tell people, hey, if you want to know if the Book of Mormon is true and Joseph Smith is truly a prophet, pray to God. And if you have a burning in your bosom, burning in your stomach, that's God communicating to you that he is true, that Joseph Smith is a true prophet and the Book of Mormon is true. And you know what? There's Mormons all over the world. They'll say, I've had that experience. And that was their confirmation that what they were taught is true. Obviously, a dangerous road to take. Well, it's no more dangerous than going and listening to a man and say, well, I felt the power of God in that meeting, or I sense this, or I sense that. But what did the individual teach? Did it line up with the Word of God? That's what's more sure than any human experience you could have. And by the way, if you compare your experience in a meeting, no matter how powerful you may have thought it to be, it's no comparison to the experience that Peter had of being able to walk with the Lord for 3 years. And John the Apostle said, we've touched him, we handled him. And then Peter emphasizes here, we saw his glory. No one on the face of the earth has been able to do that now in this day and age. And so now we don't even have the intensity of the experience that Peter has, and yet he still says it's the Word of God that's more sure than that. And so that's where Peter placed his ultimate authority, is in the prophetic scriptures, which is more sure than what he experienced. Then he goes on to say, which we do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. And he says, we're going to do a good thing if we heed the Word of God, if we listen to it, if we submit to it, if we obey it. And he says, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your heart. That's talking about the second coming of Jesus Christ. So what Peter says is that submit to the Word of God until the Lord shows up, until the second coming. That's when we'll be able to see him face to face and we'll know all things. And we'll know as we are fully known. Until then, we need something to guide us. Not just my own spiritual insight, my own intelligence, my own wisdom, but I need the Word of God. And Peter says, you do well if you heed these things. And why should we do that? Well, he tells us why in verse 20 and 21, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. And so what does he mean by no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation? The bottom line is what Peter's trying to communicate here is that the Scriptures are not as a result of human investigation, and then they wrote down their thoughts. It's not a product of man and his reason and saying, this is what I believe to be true. It's not a private interpretation. The point is that it's not of human origin. The Scriptures are from God. That's why we're to heed them. It's not based on man's experience, and he wrote those down for us. Not even the best of men, not even from the apostles, but it's from God. The very point we saw in 2 Timothy 3, verse 16 and 17. And then he reemphasizes the same point that Scripture were to heed because it's not of human origin. He communicates it now in another way. For prophecy never came by the will of man. That's what he's saying. It's not a private interpretation. It's not me investigating and then writing things down. It didn't come by the will of man. It wasn't that man discovered truth by his own insight. Says, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And so he says the Scriptures that we're to take heed, first of all, are not by the best of men's discoveries. They're not by the will of man, but it's the Holy Spirit moved men along as they were hearing from the voice of God. And this word moved along, it's an interesting term. It means to carry a burden, or it was a nautical term which used to describe how the wind would come and fill the sail of a boat, and then that sail would be moved along by the wind. It would be carried along. That's what happened to men that were writing the Scripture. It wasn't by their insight, but the Holy Spirit took over somehow and began to speak through them. Edward Young translates this phrase that men were borne along by the Holy Spirit. They were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And that's how Scriptures came into origin. It was the source of the Holy Spirit, and he moved men to write what he wanted to be written. It didn't come by the will of man. And so that's why we go back to the Scriptures, because they're not of the apostles' experience and they wrote those down. It's from the Holy Spirit communicating through them. Yes, he did use individuals to write the Scripture down. It's not that they heard a voice and wrote down word for word. That's called mechanical dictation. That's not what the Bible says, because the Word of God is communicated through individuals. Paul writes about his own personal struggles as well as his emotions. So God used men, but the end result is the Holy Spirit is one that was carrying those men along as they were writing down the prophecy for us, the Scriptures for us. And so we're to put our full trust and confidence in the Word of God, which is more sure than any other human experience possible. And that's what the early church was committed to. In Acts 2:42, it says they were steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. The teaching that was passed on from the apostles, which we now have recorded in the scripture for us, the early church based what they believed and their practice on the truths found in the scriptures. And Peter is calling this group of believers back to that same point, that the scriptures are the thing that we are to put our trust and confidence in. Because in the early verses of chapter 1, Peter's talking about salvation. And now he's going to say, these are true. We know it to be true. It's not fables. It's not stories that we heard. We were eyewitnesses of the things the Lord did. But more than that, the scriptures give us a solid authority, that greatest source of authority. We could put our trust and confidence in them because the scriptures did not originate with man. It originated with the Holy Spirit. So we want to know what the Holy Spirit is desiring to do, or what he is saying. We go back to the scriptures. And it's very simple. If someone comes up with something that is new, that I believe is a refutation of that doctrine itself. I like to be reminded just by this short little statement. If it is new, it is not true. If it is true, it is not new. That's simply because it's been around for a long time, if it's a truth, because the scriptures have been around for a long time. So anything new is not going to be true. You need to be able to find it in the Word of God. You need to be able to say, it is written, rather than, well, I think or I perceive. That's what Peter says. That's not what the scriptures are, man's perceptions. They're of the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit has set down his authority, what he wishes, what he desires, what he wants to accomplish in the Word of God. And so the Bible alone is our sole authority for doctrine and for practice within the church. And you do well if you'll heed that voice that's found within the scriptures. If you heed the Word of God, you'll have a solid life. You'll come to maturity, and you'll be prepared for every good work.